Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
We begin with a preview of Tennessee and Florida through someone who has played within the Chaney offense.
Jonathan Crompton, who had great success under Jim Chaney at Tennessee. He is now the quarterback's coach for the Toronto Argonauts. Played for the Montreal Alouettes. I think last time we had him in studio.
Yeah.
He had the long hair.
Yes.
And he was a member of the Montreal Alouettes. Jonathan, are you still rocking the long mane as a coach?
I am not. No, I actually grew that to donate to cancer. So I did that twice. And I don't know if I'll do it again anytime soon, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, it's it wasn't a bad look on you, though. So, and good job for raising money for cancer as well. Let's talk about Jim Chaney's offense a little bit. And I know that you're not inside of anything going on at Tennessee right now and can't speak specifically about what's happening or what hasn't happened with this offense. But when he took over, a lot of the thought this offseason was he was going to make things better for Jarrett Garantano. It certainly hasn't looked that way so far. In terms of how Jim Chaney coached you and what it was like in that change initially, what was that like going through his offense with him and making that adjustment?
Oh, here's the thing from a lot of people don't realize from the outside. When you got to learn a new system, I've learned a lot of them. unfortunately, and that's the thing for Jarrett. It's hard to get things, in springtime, you put some stuff in. Yeah, you only get 15 practices. Well, in fall camp, you're trying to get most of your stuff installed, but how many reps can you actually get? Yes, you have 2 days here and there. But at the end of the day, that's the unfortunate thing, is they're college student athletes, keyword student. So they don't get unlimited time a day. They don't get unlimited practice time. As far as everybody wants to say, oh, well, they're not producing, they're not this, they're not that. No, they're only three games into a new system. Let's just call it like it is. So at the end of the day, it is over the long term has proven that it works. We just have to get to where the comfortability is there. The recognition of the, next play coming up, all that stuff. It's going to flow. It just takes time. I know that's not the answer everybody wants, but that's just the reality.
Well, and I'm going back to your first year there under Chaney, 2009, and I feel like your offense started to hit its stride right around late September, early October. And I'm thinking about that Georgia game where you guys rolled the Bulldogs, had a big game offensively against South Carolina also. Is that standard to expect where, maybe it's not just one night where everything clicks, but you start to get better and better about a month into the season? And if that's the case, yeah. Now that we're moving into late September, do you expect this offense to improve against a good Florida defense?
I truly expect offenses to get better each week. In the first game of the season is always tough because you never know what to expect from either side. You played against each other for how long now? The spring game is a glorified scrimmage. So you don't know what to expect as far as what you're going to get on either side of the ball. Week two, you want to get better from week one. And week three, you got to get better from week two and all that. And then you get into SEC play. So it's hard to say that it's just a magic pill. But, injuries come into play. Who's dinged up? Who's not? At what position and all that? I know my last year there, things started clicking. We started getting guys healthy. Our receivers were not injured. Had a few guys out for the year, but it's just that's just football. It takes time. It's not an overnight process. We don't play 50 games in a year or 81 games in a year. We get in college, you get 12, 13 games. So it does take a little time, and I do expect them to get better each week. I really do. I don't expect anything to just fall off the table. But you'll start slowly seeing things improve, and then next thing you know, you go, oh, there's that game. Well, it wasn't just that game. It was a week in, week out, day in, day out grind of getting better. And that's what Chaney's offense does. He's not going to let up on them. They're going to know what they're doing, and then it's just a matter of producing.
Former Tennessee quarterback Jonathan Crompton with us on the Midday 180.
How quarterback-friendly is Jim Chaney's offense? And I ask this for this reason. You know, there's a lot of checks to be made at the line of scrimmage, obviously. But in terms of that adjustment for you, when you started working with Jim Chaney, how much responsibility does he put on the quarterback every play to read and see what's going on and adjust the play that way at the line of scrimmage?
Well, every quarterback's different. You play to your quarterback's strengths in the sense of if they're knowledgeable, you give them audible. If you feel comfortable giving them a couple things, then you do. So as far as that, everybody's different and every year would be different, especially at the quarterback position. That's what makes a coach good. You want to take your system and mold it to who you have.
Does Jim Chaney do a good job of that? Do you feel like he molded the offense around your skill set in your year with him?
Well, I think overall, him and Kiffin both did a phenomenal job of realizing what we had at skill positions, what we had at running back, and kind of playing to that strength, and really letting us utilize what we could do versus all, and, you know, that's the thing about coaching. You got to understand what you do well, but what also is going to expose what the defense doesn't do so well. That's why it's the ultimate chess match, and I think both of them did a phenomenal job that year, and they have since.
Jonathan Crompton with us. What have you seen from Garantano that you like? Where do you think his strengths lie, and are they getting the most out of that from what you've been able to observe from afar?
Well, one of his strengths, I mean, he's matured so much since his freshman year. You can see the growth. You can see not the frustrated, you know, face all the time. And guys buy into that. It's just the fact that, I mean, that's the thing about football. It takes all 11 guys down there doing the right thing to make a play work. 10 of them can do it right, one do it wrong, and everybody looks bad. So knowing that, I think his strength is he's matured. He can throw the piss out of a football. Everybody knows that. He's obviously an intelligent kid. So in this offense, he's going to thrive in it. It's just we've got to get to that comfortable level, and that just takes a little bit of time.
Well, and I'm trying to think about sort of the feeling out process of, you know, Jarrett Garantano having to go with, I think, a fourth offensive coordinator in his time there. But also Jim Chaney, you know, he's going from Jake Fromm to Jarrett Garantano. So there's sort of a lack of trust there maybe on both sides and a feeling out process for both coach and player. I'm curious now that you're on the coaching side of this and you're coaching quarterbacks, how difficult is that to get that comfortability with a player where you know them, you know what works for them, but if you don't have that full confidence in a player you're working with, then maybe how difficult that becomes for a coordinator to call plays around that and to understand what they do well.
I mean, there's a fine line. There really is. I think it's a little different at the college level because you're dealing with young men that are still going to classes that are having to get an education rather than at the pro level where this is their job. So it is a little different, but Chaney has done such a good job over his career of knowing how to adapt to younger generations, knowing how to reach out to them, knowing how to get them to believe in what he does and that he's not blowing smoke up their rear end and truly care about them as an individual. That's where it all stems from, because it's not just X's and O's in football. We're all going to be done playing at some point, or we're all going to be done coaching at some point. How do you get people to realize, hey, man, I really care about you as an individual? Because I promise you, there are coaches out there that don't. I've had them that could care less about who you are or could care less about what your, you know, girlfriend's name is in college or if they're married in college or whatever. Chaney's not that guy. He does care. And that shows. And like I said, it's just going to keep getting better and better. I mean, hell, the only place we can go is up. We can't go down. So I believe in what he does and the fact that guys know that he wants to be in Knoxville.
Jonathan Crompton, our guest on the Midday 180. Just looking up and down the Toronto Argonauts roster, who you're working with, SEC fans might remember this name, James Franklin, the former Missouri quarterback. You're working with him right now. What's it been like coaching him?
Oh, it's fun. I mean, we've got a good group of guys in our QB room. The best part is they're all professionals. They take it serious. They understand that we got to go to work every day because this isn't, you know, I mean, this is professional football. So your tape is your resume, and guys get that. So we've got a good group of guys in the QB room. They're all very knowledgeable of the game. I feel like we all work well together.
Jonathan, thank you for the time and the insight, man. And I'm assuming you'll be able to watch the game tomorrow morning.
Ooh, depending. We play tonight at 7. I'll be in at the office about 6 a.m. grading the film, so we'll see whenever we get done.
Always
I would
grinding.
Like to. If not, I'll have it on my phone on my desk. So, yeah, long story short, yeah, I should be able to watch it.
Did you read the piece? I'm just curious, at ESPN on Kiffin, the 1 year, the retrospective of the 10-year anniversary of all of that?
Oh, I got to read most of it. I didn't read all of it. good part is I was a part of it, so I didn't really have to read it to know what guys would say. But I think Chris does a good job of getting that story across. He's always been a good one. He knows how to get that perspective where it needs to be.
You know, the amazing part about that and reading that piece, the Florida game you guys were involved in, everyone was expecting Florida to win 70-0. That Urban Meyer was going to run up the score on Kiffin after what he said. It was 23-13, and I remember Kiffin walking off the field saying, it worked. Urban was so concerned with me, he forgot to game plan for the team, and we were able to keep it close by just making the game ugly. Well, what are your memories of that Florida game that year?
Hot. It was excruciatingly hot. It's Gainesville, Florida at noon. It is not, it's not chilly. I mean, we had a good game plan, but you got to understand, man, that defense, I think everybody on that defense played in the NFL. They were stacked, and to go in there with the team that we had, that we were, don't get me wrong, we were a damn good team, but overall, you know, we were that team that had been mentally beat up by previous staff, that lacked that overall we can compete with anybody confidence like we did when we came in, because we, you know, we weren't slouches. And he instilled that in us to say, listen, nobody cares where you came from. Nobody cares what you've done, what you haven't done. We're going to go in here and we're going to whip some ass. And that was his mentality every week. I mean, nobody thought preseason that Tennessee team would have played with the Florida, played with the Alabama, number one in the country, winning the national championship, you know, doing the things that we did. Nobody would have thought that except the guys in the locker room and Lane Kiffin. That's my biggest memory, is he let us go out there and be ourselves within the system.
Jonathan Crompton has been our guest and now the quarterback's coach of the Toronto Argonauts. Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us, man. Really appreciate your time.
Good luck tonight.
I appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Jonathan Crompton, good insight there on Jim Chaney.
He had us ready to go in there and kick some ass. Oh, man, that piece by Chris Lowe was really well done. The opening part about Ed Ogeron throwing the projector the night before the Alabama game, and everyone in the room, including Monty Kiffin at 68 years old, throwing chairs up against the wall of the hotel. Just insanity during that season.
Just consider that for a moment. That scene.
It's also funny that Kiffin came in and said, I went ahead and called the University of Tennessee and told them that we're not flying out until the next day because we're going to come out and we're going to drink all the beer in their bars after the game after we beat them tomorrow. So we're not going to fly back until Sunday. I let them know that. And he also lied about the black jerseys. He brought the boxes in before the game and he said, the university said no to this, but I said yes. Here are your black jerseys. Even though the university approved it a week before to make him the good guy.